to the leading up of this Sunday, I was just asking God throughout the week, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And he said, speak upon Samson and Delilah again. We need to talk about that again. We need to speak on that. The reason being is because we need to make ourselves aware that you and me, we have been called for a purpose. And the purpose is not to sit in a pew. The purpose is not yet to be happy, to receive, and then go back and to become all puffed up. The reason why you receive salvation through Christ is also not just to go to heaven, but the reason why you received Jesus Christ is to be made righteous, to be justified by the blood of Christ, so that the power of the living God can come upon you, and that the power of God can work through you to do what? To bring people to salvation. You're not the one bringing people to salvation. The Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit that brings people to salvation. The only thing that God wants you and me to do is to be obedient to what he says, and that is to go and preach the gospel, to make disciples, baptize people, to lay hands on people and to cast out demons out of people. And is the church doing that? Are we doing that? Are we walking in the fullness of what God has? Are we really walking? I don't see one church doing that. I don't see churches doing that. I see churches doing a lot of stuff. And that includes our church. And we see a lot of people, well, a lot of churches and a lot of church leaders applying methods, but not sticking to the principles of how God prescribes it in his word. Because principles are tough. We sang just now, you know, there's a narrow road to walk. And to walk this narrow road takes a lot. It takes hard work. Now, a lot of people will say, well, now, JJ, now you're starting to move more towards a religious spirit again. No, I'm not walking towards a religious spirit. I'm not. It doesn't mean that if Christ Jesus set me free that I can go into the world and go and do whatever I want to do and say, great, by grace I've been saved. It doesn't mean that, because it cost Christ much. And if Christ gave his life for me, I need to give my life. I need to lay down my life. I need to carry my cross for him. So my ambitions, my plans, my dreams comes secondary. That's how it works. If we really declare that, Jesus, you are Lord over my life. Because if we belong to the King and his kingdom, surely we are subject unto his rules and to his commands. Amen? Not our own. So this morning I want to go back. I want to go back there again. And it's definitely not that I don't have anything to talk on. I've got a lot to say. But our fasting and prayer, this is what it's about. We're going to fast and we're going to pray for the nations. We're going to ask God. You see, our vision or our mission statement is to reach nations and generations through what? Through disciple making, leadership development, and going out and planting churches. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And we're going to pray, and all the home cells will get a small little globe, and well, not a small globe, we're going to buy a big globe, but each and every home cell, pray. And we're going to say, God, we understand that there were mighty men. There were men and women before us who obeyed your very word, who have prepared a harvest for us to go and harvest it. And Father, we're going to trust you, and we're going to pray over this globe, and we're going to pray for the nations, and we're going to pray for our community, we're going to pray for Africa, we're going to pray for South Africa. And God, we're going to trust you that you will add to your church through us as a movement. Amen. Because we have been called not to be charity workers. If you think that a Christian is a charity worker, then I'm telling you now, you've got it all wrong. We have been called to preach the gospel. We've been called to bring people or to introduce people to Jesus. That's what we've been called to do. And then secondly, we are going to fast and we're going to pray for missions and church plantings. We want to reach people out there. That is what we want to do. And I love it because, again, it just ties up into exactly that what I want to speak on this morning. Is that we are vessels of choice to do what? To demonstrate the power of God. To who? To nations. To generations. To people who do not know Him. That's what it is. Early on this week, I Facebooked something. I posted, I poked, I tweeted. I don't know what you want to call all these funny words, but something about the Holy Spirit. And it is this, is that God's pleasure or God's displeasure will be manifested in church through His Spirit, through His Holy Spirit. And how is that? Who determines that? Who determines this? You and me. And how do we determine it? By our faith and obedience towards God? Or to a lack of faith and to our disobedience towards God? So what does this mean? It means that if the power of God, if the presence of God is among us in this place, He will move. And God will bring word, and God will heal, and God will do what God does. But when that stops, then we are in grave danger. And I'm not talking about what man can conjure, because we vessels, we creative vessels, we can do whatever we can. We can plan a church service and we can conjure a whole lot of things up. But was it the Spirit, yes or no? And this is where we need to be discerning. This is where we need to be discerning, because even the elect will be deceived. So this morning I want to say to you that you and me, we are vessels of God's choice to be His hands and to be His feet. And I want to say to us as a church that there is a great responsibility upon our shoulders. As you sit here this morning, I want you to understand that there is a great responsibility on your shoulders and on my shoulders. And what is this responsibility? The responsibility is to make Jesus Christ known unto the world and to live our lives righteous and holy before our King. Why? You see, Israel was called to be a vessel of God's choice in that era, in that period. And how was it? How did He call them? He called them to be His people. Brought them out of Egypt, stood before Sinai. He gave them a bunch of laws. And what did He do? He just didn't tell them, okay, great, I've called you to be my people. There you go, here's your Ten Commandments, off you go. No, He displayed Himself on this mountain and said, I am God. This is what I require. This is the contractual agreement that you need to go into with me. If you do agree with us, this is how I want you to walk. This is how I want you to do the certain things. And if you don't do it, this is what will happen. So we see there's cursing and we see that there is blessing. What does Israel do? Israel goes, yes, Lord, we will do it. So they go from the mountain, and what happens? The first time that God starts disciplining Israel. Why? Because they disobeyed. But I don't want to focus on that. What I want to focus on is, why did God call Israel to be His people? Or to become a Hebrew people? He called them for this reason, is to demonstrate who He is to an ungodly nation out there. Or to the ungodly nations. And the way that they would walk, and the way that they would speak, and the way that they would react, and the things that they would do according to God's commands, God's prescriptions. God would either bless them or God would discipline them. And you know what? In all this, as they were moving, all the eyes of all the ungodly nations were upon the Hebrew people. And as they walked righteous and holy before God, He blessed them. And what did we see? All these nations looked at them and said, wow, their God is truly with them. And we see this as they go through the desert. We see a lot of ungodly nations being so afraid of the Hebrew people as they come closer to their regions. Why? Because they serve a mighty and a holy God. And unfortunately, due to the fall, unfortunately due to the Hebrew people always wanting to follow what? Their flesh. the things that this world offers, what happens is they started losing this. I don't want to say intimacy because it's not that. But what happened is the purpose of what God called them to was not fulfilled. It wasn't fulfilled. And that vessel of that time and that era was then replaced by Christ Jesus. And that is the church. It's a dispensation period of grace where we are in now. And we are now the vessel of choice. We are not a replacement theology. I'm not talking about replacement theology. Hear me carefully. I'm not saying that we have replaced Israel. I'm not saying that. That's theologically incorrect. We are the church. And we are the vessel of God's choice in this time, in this era. And the very same responsibility that God placed upon the Hebrew people, He places upon us today. For He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His ways never changes. So God, when He looks at you and me, when He gave Christ, what did He do? He says, there's my Son. I gave the greatest gift of all mankind. I gave to you to break the power of sin over you. So therefore, power of the Spirit of the living God. You see, God cannot work through vessels who are not yielded to Him. I'm going to say this again. God cannot and will not work through vessels that are not yielded to Him. And therefore, the church of Jesus Christ, in these days, we are not seeing signs, miracles, and wonders as what we see the church in Acts saw and experienced. It's just purely because each and every one of us, we've got our own agenda. I've got my own agenda. Helmut, you've got your agenda. Everybody here, we've all got our own agendas. Our agenda is not the king and the kingdom's agenda. That's not. Because we've got our own worries. We've got our own families. We've got all these things that we always worry about. But when the King, when His agenda is primary in our hearts and in our minds, when we eat it, breathe it, and sleep it, things change. And this we see with Smith Wigglesworth, that we see with John G. Lake, that we see with God's generals. And if I can really tell you, there's two books that you need to go and get the book. It's two books, two volumes, God's Generals 1 and God's Generals 2. Go and see how these people live. These people live their lives completely devoted to Jesus. If Smith Wigglesworth didn't even want to pick up or allow a newspaper into his house, how much more, and I'm talking to myself now, how much more should we not get rid of our TVs? Because you know what the TV is, I'm telling you, I'm convinced about it, that it is the devil's eye in my house. So JJ, why do you still have it? I don't know, because it's difficult to separate myself from that thing. But I know for a fact that it keeps me away with intimate time with God. What separates you from God? It's true. It's small things. We've really become so used to these things. It's tell you, the world is clever. I'm going through a study of the Illuminati and end times and all these things, in which we will soon preach on and do a teaching on. But I'm telling you, we are really being hypnotized, if I can call it that. I don't know what a better word for it is, but we're being hypnotized to receive and to accept certain things which the Word of God says, do not do this, do not do that, do not do this. I'll give you a good example, pornography. I think in the Alright, we need to get those things right. In any case, are you all awake? Fabulous. I saw everybody doing this again. So I don't know if you're agreeing with me. At a certain time, there was somebody that said to me as he did this, he says, Judge, I'm just interceding for you. But let's look at pornography. This is what pornography is about. 15 years, 20 years back, you didn't even see a jockey or a jockey advert. You didn't see any underwear being advertised. And then suddenly we saw a very subtle way of bras and underpants and things coming into it. And then suddenly now it's like all like sexual type of things that we see on TV. Just to go and buy a brookie and a bra. It's all sexual. And you know what? It's true what the Word says is what we see. That's the thing that has been engraved in the back of our mind. That's the thing that starts getting alive. There's something different. And then, of course, when you start seeing that, then the very next thing that comes in will be okay. Because, okay, we've seen that. We've seen the little routine or draw. We've seen ladies now dancing and washing and doing all these things that men do in the festival. So that's okay. So what's the next thing? Now the marketing agencies need that. They now know that they need to get the next one. And it's like a drug rush. You know, you can take a dip, or if you take coke, or if you take whatever. The very next hit needs to be a little bit more. Because it needs to get the adrenaline pumping. And that's exactly how callous we have become towards all these things. And the very next thing is pornography. And now we see on movies, we see lesbianism, we see all the stuff, homosexuality, we see adultery, we see desperate housewives, and we see all these things just slowly but surely infiltrating into little soapies. And we sit there and we watch them and we say, this is my best movie, and this is my best this, and this is my best. But you know what? That we condone it. When we sit there, we condone these things. We condone it. So a lot of people will ask me, oh, Judge, tell me now, then how should we live? We better watch out what we hear, because that is what the Word of God says. And we should abstain ourselves from anything that the world gives us. That's what the Word of God says. And I really want to encourage you, because God is busy with me in this area. But God is really just speaking to me and just starting to deroot me in a lot of things where I have bad roots in. And we all have them. We all have them. And as God is busy unrooting me, I want to urge you, go to Him and say, God, where are my bad roots? When you say, unroot me, it's not because you just want to be unrooted and you just want to be a holy and a righteous little person or sing beautiful songs to God. No, the reason why you and me, we want to be uprooted is purely because we are vessels of choice. We are vessels who carry the presence of God within us. We are the only created thing that carries the Spirit of God. And that should be an honor to you and to me. And where Jesus says it, that helmet that you will do far greater things that He has ever done, we need to start holding on to those things. But we can't live a life as in the old man, in our old nature, and be okay with it and think, great, well, I'm going to now do this and this and this and this for God, because it's works. It's dead works. God is not glorified by that. And this is what's creeping into the church today. It's creeping in because these methods are easy. It's easy. there's a church, and I love these people very much, and we saw a video clip over this weekend. They had their great get together, like a cooking time, and it looks like a disco. It literally looks like a disco. It's dark with lights and laser beams and smoke and all sorts of stuff. And then the song that they're playing is "For God Is With Us." And then you see people running onto stage, and then they're running off the stage, and they're jumping, and it's called stage diving, and the people are catching them, and they're just having a great time. And then we see the tweets coming out saying, "Who said church is boring?" And then Jacinta made a comment that made me think, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, so who said church is boring? So you need stage diving, you need the lights, you need the smoke, you need all the things that the world prescribes to you, but if you have to sit down, switch on the light, and be still and know that He is God, you can't just be happy with the Spirit, with the presence of His Spirit. But you need stuff. Those are methods. And the more we incline ourselves to these methods, the more the principles are being covered. And these methods will start stacking up, and then suddenly one day we will wake up and we will understand that the methods that we were using were wrong. And then the leader of the church will have to come and stand in front and say, "Excuse me, congregation, for we have been wrong in everything up until now. You see all these methods? We now need to erase all them because we need to come back to the principle, the principles of God, how God commands it, and that stuff." Because you don't get leaders that are brave enough to say, "I was wrong." We are vessels. We are vessels of God's choice. And you and me, we have got a great responsibility upon our shoulders to spend time with Him, to pray, and to separate ourselves from this world. If we go and read, and just for the sake of time, I want you to make a note. Two portions of scripture. You can go and read in Deuteronomy 7 verse 1 to 11 and Numbers 33 verse 50 to 55. Go and read that. We understand that when God spoke to the Hebrew people, that He always spoke to them in this way. He said to them, He always warned them. And when we look at the Old Testament, and we compare it to the New Testament, I always want you to understand this. The Old Testament, God shows us how He deals with issues in the natural. Hear me carefully. How God deals with issues in the natural. So if God says to Dale, "Dale, you must not do this and this and this," and Dale goes and does it, many D's there, and Dale does it. What does God do? God comes and disciplines Dale. Why? It's not that He doesn't love him. It's He wants to discipline him so that he understands that the next time that he does something, he shouldn't do it. So in the Old Testament, we see then that Dale will do something grotesquely, and God will then come and God will sort him out. God will do something. Either God will kill him. Why? But because of the law, and He will sort him out. And we see that there is an urgency of how God deals with sin in the Old Testament. You see it. Amen. Now listen carefully. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. How does God, or what is the purpose of this revelation? This is the purpose. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities of the heavenly realms. Our fight today is a spiritual fight. Hear me. It's a spiritual fight. So therefore, the same way how God dealt with sin in the natural, He makes us aware of how He deals with it so that we can have fear. so that we can look at it and say, oh my God, I don't want to go through that. Why? Because he says to you this. He says, the way I will deal with your sin now will not be in a physical way, in a natural way now. But I will deal with your sin in a spiritual way the day that you stand before me in judgment. That already needs to put so much fear in us so that we can work out our salvation in fear and trembling daily and saying, God, am I on the right path? Lord, am I working? Lord, am I walking as you prescribe me to walk? Because the Word of God is a measuring stick for you and for me. We measure ourselves up daily. And we try and walk circumspectly. And is it possible for us to walk? Absolutely. Why? Because Romans 6 tells us that the power of sin has been broken over you and over you. Very simple. You are no longer a slave to sin, but a slave to Christ. Now I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under a cloud and passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Okay? And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But God was not pleased with most of them. Can you hear that? You see that? God was not pleased with most of them. Doesn't say that God is not pleased with all of them. He says, for God was not pleased with most of them. So it's a little bit more than half, I would think. So why do I make that? Or why do I bring that to your attention? This is why I'm bringing it to your attention. Is because within our ranks, there are what? There are certain people that God is not happy with. Why? Because we treat him as grace. Like a common thing. But God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert. Now these things became examples for us. So that we will not desire evil as they did. There's a clear instruction. What is the instruction? This is the instruction. It's when you read the Old Testament. Do not desire the same things as those who desired evil. Because as they desired it, they were killed. They lost their lives. So when you and me, when we look at the Old Testament, there's a lot that we can learn from it. Why? And what can we learn? This is what we learn. That God deals with sin in the natural, in a disastrous way. He doesn't stand up for it. Even with the people that he chose, even the people that he called out of Egypt, it's those who he seeks judgment to. It is those who he brings discipline to. And friends, and this is exactly the same way how God will work with us as the church. If we do not come daily before him, and if we do not measure ourselves up daily, we will be of those. And I love God's heart because he gives us the Old Testament gives us scripture to say, measure yourself up against these things. Come on. He encourages us. Walk as I prescribe you to walk. Don't become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to play. Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in a single day, 23,000 people fell dead. Let us not tempt Christ as some of them did and were destroyed by snakes. Nor should we complain as some of them did and were killed by the destroyer. You see, some of them. It's not all. It's not all of them. It's some of them. So when Paul says some of them, what is he telling you and me? He says to you and to me, let's measure ourselves up. Are we on the left or are we on the right? Are we sitting in this block or are we sitting in that block? That's what he's saying. And that is your duty and this is my duty.
is today search the scripture and say, Lord God, is to be faithful in prayer and say, Lord, where am I? Where am I? Am I well pleasing to you? And it's not that. A lot of people will come and say, Yahweh Jireh, now, you know, we've got grace, and, you know, now you're working for this. And you go, no, 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 you're not working. You're not working for anything. What you're doing is you're coming before God and you are revering Him. You're standing before Him and you're saying, I fear you, but yet I love you. Yet I want to walk as you walk, Jesus. I don't want to be an idolater. I don't want to be a complainer. I don't want to have idols in my life. I don't want to do these things. Why? Because Jesus, you died for me and you have called me to come and serve this generation. And this generation needs you. And I see myself as a vessel. I see myself as conduit. That as I live myself, as I live my life holy and righteous, I see that you can use me. You know what conduit is? Conduit is where you put electric wires. And if there's a blockage in that piece of pipe, in that PVC pipe, and you start pushing a wire through that carries an electrical current, will it go through? No, you first need to unblock the PVC pipe before you can take a live wire right through and then switch it on. That's you and me. So we can learn from Old Testament scriptures that we need to live our lives as Christ describes it. Why? Because there is a responsibility upon your shoulders and upon mine. Deuteronomy, and actually it's a whole Old Testament that speaks of this, but Deuteronomy and Numbers speaks about that you are the chosen people. Abstain from idolatry. Do not give your children to ungodly. Do not let your daughters marry ungodly nations, or your sons. Let them not marry ungodly nations. Because surely if you do these things, they will what? What will happen? They will follow their gods. They will fall to ungodly manners and ways. And when we see that exactly happening with the Hebrew people, they fell into it. They became a disobedient people. And they couldn't fulfill the promises and those things that God purposed for the ungodly nations. Why? Because as they walked into Canaan, God said to them, destroy every nation. What did they do? They went to ungodly nations, and they felt sorry for them, and married them. They did all these things. And it's the very people today, Hamas and the Gaza, and those people whom they felt sorry, whom they didn't listen to, who are today persecuting them, and killing them, and firing 2,000 missiles in 2 weeks. The very same people. Now, if we have to take that into a spiritual context, that all being natural, for you and me, this is a spiritual thing. If we have to take all those things into a spiritual context, this is what's going to happen. If you and me, if we do not deal with idolatry, if we do not deal with the things of the world that continually lures us in, guess what will happen? We will be tormented by demonic influence day in and day out, and you will become powerless. And you will not be able to carry the presence of God in might and in power. You will not be able to demonstrate it. Are you saved? Absolutely, you are saved. You are justified by the King. But will you walk in that what Christ has for you? No. Why? Because you've got one foot in the world, and you've got one foot in the kingdom of God. But by grace, because of God's mercy, because of the dispensation period of grace for the church, we start to repent and get ourselves right, and get ourselves ready. Amen. So Samson and Delilah, we will see in the book of Judges. You can turn there if you want to, or it will appear. But with Samson and Delilah, what do we see? We see that Samson was a Nazarene. He went and he wasn't allowed to cut his hair. He wasn't allowed to drink any grapes, or not drink grapes, drink any fermented grapes. And there was a certain standard, if I can call it a godly standard, that Samson had to follow, achieve, maintain. Thank you. And we see that it started with his mom, and his mother had to do what? His mother had to bring the sin over to him. His mom taught him this. And as Samson grew up, he knew exactly what was wrong and what was right. He knew exactly that according to law, he was not allowed to do what? To go and look for a wife of any ungodly nation. He knew exactly what the word said, or what the law said. And what was Samson's purpose? Samson was called to be a judge for God. Against who? Against the Philistines. Why? Because Israel sinned. And just purely because of all the hardship that the Philistines placed upon them, they started crying out to God, and God heard their cry. God sent this judge called Samson, and he judged who? The Philistines. Or the Philistines. In that also bringing what to Israel? Deliverance and freedom. But in that, we see that Samson's weakness was woman. His first wife that he married, he gave away, and then he wanted her back. And then he said to the prostitute, and then suddenly he came to a wonderful and a beautiful lady by the name of Delilah. And the very commands and those prescriptions that God gave, saying to him, do not be given to wine, do not cut your hair, do not, so that the power will not leave you, so that you will fulfill the very thing that you have been called to. Don't do these things. What did Samson do? Samson went against everything that the Lord did, or what the Lord prescribed, or what the law prescribed. He went and he got himself a woman out of the ungodly nations. And he was besotted over her. And the more he looked into her eyes, the more he fell in love. And the more he fell in love with her, and the more she came and said to him, man, you know what? Please, tell me what your secret is. Why? Because the Philistine lords came. They were afraid of Samson. They were afraid of him because they knew, why is he here? Has he come to destroy us? And they went to Delilah and said, please, just get this guy's, just get the secret. And we see that Delilah went three times and said to him, please, Samson, what is your secret? And every time he lied to her, he played the fool with her. But on the third time, as she really just bared her heart before him, what did he do? He gave his secret away. He gave his secret away. What happened? Off went his hair. Off went all his superpowers. But what happened? He was taken prisoner. Gouged out his eyes, and there he was, this mighty man of God. Now you want to ask, but JJ, how has this got anything to do with the church of today? It's very simple. If you have to draw a parallel between Samson and Delilah, Samson is the church, Samson is you, Samson is me, Delilah is the Lord. You see, if we give ourselves to the world, if we go and play, if we find ourselves dabbling into the world and then we come in out again, and say, wow, that was a great experience. And we go back in again, and we come back out, and wow, that was an awesome experience. Hey, I can get away with this thing. It's not true. The powers of this isn't, you know, what the preachers preach and what the Bible says. It's nonsense, man. And then, the more we go back in, the less me and my words today. God, the less resistance you and me have to stand up against that what the world has got to offer. Why? Because it's easy. To follow the world, the Bible says it's a wide road and many go by. But to follow Christ, it's narrow and few find. And the more you and me dabble in the world, the more we find ourselves giving ourselves and listening and seeing and looking and reading about the things of the world,
the more we'll find ourselves that we will be stuck in there. And by the time that we want to come out, we won't be able to come out. Why? Because you will be a prisoner of the Lord. And just like Samson, just like the Spirit, because the Word says to you and to me what? For the Spirit left Samson. It departed from him. Praise Jesus. But in the New Testament, his Spirit will never depart us. He might become quiet, but his Spirit will never depart us. Unless we apostatize, and that is to denounce Christ or deny Christ. But praise God that His Spirit will never leave us. And there's always time for repentance. There's always time for repentance of God. Up until we blow out our last breath. And that is why it's so important for you and me as carriers of His Spirit. If we measure ourselves up daily. Because the world can quite quickly, you see, the devil is very cunning. He's a deceiver. He will touch you in certain areas where you might think, I'm okay. But in a week's time from now, you're not. And we've got a saying when we counsel people, what you don't deal with today, the devil will deal with you tomorrow. And that is true. So just as Samson dabbled with it, so we find ourselves dabbling with it. And this is amazing, because as we start reading a little bit further, we see that his eyes were gouged out. And that's exactly what the devil does with you and me. You see, there are powers and principalities which we cannot see. They are called the lords of the Philistines. And they dictate to the world what to do. Because why? Because you and me, we are carriers of God's power and of God's might and of God's beauty. You see, wherever you and me walk, we can create life. Or we can bring life, not create, but we can bring life through the power of the Spirit of God. And we bring judgment upon the forces of darkness. We tell it to go in Jesus' name. We tell sickness, we tell disease in the name of Jesus to flee. And what happens? It needs to bow the knee and it needs to go. And the devil knows the more he can envelop us and encage and imprison us to the things of this world, what happens is the more we become paralyzed, what else? Blinded? Exactly. So here where Samson's eyes get plucked out, we can't see the truth. We can see it. What happens is we see that he becomes a man that starts pushing around a millstone in circles, and that's exactly what happens to you and to me. Suddenly, when we find ourselves in the world and our eyes are gouged out and we can't see and we can't hear what God says, and we start feeling all unhappy, and we feel that depression and oppression and all these things come upon us, what happens is this, is we are moving in circles and we are slave drivers to demons. That is what happens. Go and read this portion of Scripture. It's amazing on how God just speaks to you through this. And you know what? Is that then demons and the forces of darkness laugh at you. They laugh at me and they laugh at God. Because they have accomplished exactly that, what they wanted to do. Exactly. Because they've incapacitated another believer. Not to fulfill the mandate that God has placed upon them. And I want us to understand this. That when we are the last time when we preached, exactly on the same place, I struggled with this, incapacitated. Incapacitates us, thank you. Oh man. When the devil incapacitates us, thank you so much. When the devil incapacitates us, Anton must have a good laugh now because he's like, what you saying? In any case, when the devil gets that right, you must understand that when he does this to Helmut, and when he gets that right, it's not Helmut that only is in that area, but the people that Helmut could have touched are also affected by
any different. If we give ourselves to the world, if we give our eyes and our ears and our minds to the world daily, and if we are incapacitated by the devil, it has got an effect on the people who we should reach as well. Generations and nations. And this is exactly what happened with Samson. He didn't fulfill it. But there comes a time, and I love this, because as he stands at those pillars, and as the forces of darkness, and as these Philistines made jokes of him and laugh and drinking and doing all the stuff that they did, he asked the young little boy, he stood next to these two pillars, and what did he do? He cried out to God and he said, God, forgive me. But for one more time, use me. And this is grace. This is mercy. And God's Spirit came upon him. And as God's Spirit came upon him, what happened? Samson killed more Philistines in that one moment than what he killed in his whole life. Friends, I want you to understand this morning. And I don't want you to go out here this morning. I want us to understand that we have been called to become vessels. We are called to be vessels, the carriers of God's Spirit. I want you to understand this morning, that God is calling you and calling me to be separate from this world. Time is short. The time is short. We should be praying to God for salvation. We should be walking and going to people and praying and telling people about Jesus. That is what we should be doing. If our objective is to feed people, if our objective with this outreach that we are going to have in Pero, just to give a blanket and just to give food and to say, oh, bless you, my brother, I hope you have got a full tummy and that this blanket will keep you nice and warm, then I'm telling you now that we are not fulfilling what we need to do. God doesn't want charity work. God wants us to go and talk to these people about who? About Jesus Christ. And you know what? And then we need to invite them to our church, because then we need to disciple them. And if they come through those doors and if they stink and if they do whatever, who cares? You know what we do? Then we start putting a thing into place, like what Robert has said. Then we get a shelter going for these people. Because I know Robert and I know Peter's heart is for these bastards. Then we get a shelter going for these people. Then we don't talk about money, but then we start putting our money into action. And we start developing these people. And this is what we do. We bring them to Christ. A full tummy and a blanket won't get them into heaven. The Word of God will bring them to heaven. Christ, Jesus, is more concerned about our spiritual well-being than what He is concerned about this natural being. Because this will come and this will go. 60, 70, 50, 10, how many years? But eternity is forever. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 6. Are you following this? Is this making sense, friends? It's not boring you. Can you see that there's an urgency in the Spirit where God is just saying to us, you carriers, sort yourselves out. We need to. Verse 11 says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our hearts is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same I speak as to children, you also be open. Verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? Now I want you to understand this. Here we can go and say, what has the world got to do with me? Absolutely nothing. That is what it's got to say. But him also writing it to the church, could it also be there? There might be unbelievers within our midst. Are you speaking to church people as well? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? What communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with the law? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Hear me. For you are the temple of the living God. Where does God dwell? He dwells within you. This is where God's temple is. It's you and me. And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out. Say that. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Friends, I want you to highlight this. Maak strepe in julle Bybels. We need to start understanding this. This is urgent stuff. It's urgent. Verse 18, I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Only when we separate ourselves, will He receive us, and He will call you and me His daughter and His son. And only then does He say that I will be a father to you. Verse 7 says, chapter 7 verse 1 says, therefore, having these things promised, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of what? The spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. One thing that I can say about the church today is that we have lost the fear of God. We have lost it. We have lost the awe, the reverence of God. God is my chummy. God is my friend. The man upstairs. The old man. The gray bearded man. You know, in the Old Testament, when the priests approached the temple or the tabernacle, they did that with all reverence. They had to be clean, because if they weren't clean, if they weren't cleansed, if they didn't go through all the rituals, they were dead. The guy that went behind the veil had a little string, not a string, a rope with little bells tied to him. So when you get ding-a-ling, ding-ding-ding-ding-ding, then you know the guy's all okay. But when that sound stops, you know you need to start pulling, because he's dead. Now guess what? We laugh about this. But listen to this. I want you to understand this. What did I say to you earlier on? The Old Testament shows us how God deals with us in the natural. You and me have been called as a royal priesthood. We can enter boldly into the throne of God through the blood of Jesus. Do we do it in fear now? Do we still do it in awe and reverence? Do we still do it in the same way as what the priests did it? We should. And I'm not talking in a religious act, doing all the funny things that they did. No, Jesus did that. But when we come into the courts of the King, we stand before God. He is holy, He is righteous. He is our Creator. He is our God. He is not my friend. He is my King. And if God says, I am His friend, thank you, Lord. You can call me your friend. But God, I will never call you my friend. You are my King. You are my God. Do you understand this? And this is what needs to return to the church. Is a holiness and an awe and a reverence for God and His Word. Turn with me in closing to 1 John 2. It says, My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. Thank you. Like I say, my tongue is twisted this morning. For our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the world. Verse 3 says, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His. Come on, this is the New Testament. Speaking to a New Testament church. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Verse 4 says, he who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He, Jesus, walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you. Which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Can you see exactly the same thing what happened to Samson? Walks in circles. Eyes gouged out, can't see, disorientated. If we do not live, if we don't love our brothers or our sisters, and if we are given to the things of darkness, if we are given to the things of this world, we are incapacitated. You are declared powerless. You cannot fulfill that what God has called you to be, a vessel, to demonstrate His power, to be His hands, and to be His feet. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, the little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Friends, when I read this, I look at myself and I say to myself, Father, there are so many things that I love of the world. Is it truly so? Because the things for the love of this world keeps me away from people that I need to minister to. I would rather watch a rugby game than rather go and pray for people or to go and visit somebody in the hospital. Do you understand my heart? Yeah.
I'm looking at certain things and I'm measuring myself up. And it's not saying that I can't attain it. I can attain it. It's just my lust, my flesh drives me. It overpowers me. And I need to beat my body, as Paul says, daily into submission, so that whatever I preach and whatever I do and wherever I walk, that I do not disqualify myself. For the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Verse 12 and verse 14 is an encouragement unto you and to me. And I want to read it again in closing. Because we have what it takes. We have everything. We have been set free. We have been declared righteous. We have been justified by Christ. All that we need to do is we need to take a stance now. Start understanding who we are in Him. And we need to understand what the purpose is we have. You don't need to go and pray about it. The purpose for you and for me here is quite simple. It is to preach the gospel. It's to be Jesus' hands and feet wherever we go. And to be separate from this world. And to know that God wants to use you and me as a conduit to take an electric current from one point to another point and get people to know who He is. And to bring people to Christ. I leave this with you. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. For His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You are called. For a purpose. May I ask you this morning that you will arise to go and fulfill it. Go and fulfill it. Give everything to Christ. Separate. Let's separate ourselves from the world. And let's be conduits. I want to call it holy conduits. For His electrical current, for His spirit, for His living waters to flow through us. And we, may we never block that. May we never block that. Can we pray? Can we stand? Friends, as we go through this, God is speaking to me, and there are certain things that I need to bring before God, and where I need to repent, and where I need to relook at my life and measure myself up. And I know that there are people here that need to do that too. I want you to just close your eyes. I want you to repent. And I want you to commit yourself to the Lord in this morning. And you shouldn't be doing it because I'm saying it. You should be doing it because you want to do it, because you see yourself as someone that God has handpicked. You see, the Word says that many are called, but few are chosen. You see, the call of the Spirit of God goes from one point of the earth to another. And God has chosen you. Why? Because you have placed, you put your hand up in the air and you say, God, I hear this call. I hear your Spirit. And Jesus is justified. And because the Spirit dwells within you, He wants to use you. And we all are drawn to certain things in this world. Our flesh desires and craves certain things. I just want you to hear this now in a few seconds. Just bring those things before God. Speak it out. Just say, Lord, here I am.
forgive me. Forgive me for what I've made of this grace thing. Forgive me, Lord, that I haven't seen myself as a vessel of your, or a carrier, or a vessel that carries your spirit. Father, forgive me that I've made mistakes. Father, forgive me that I have a love for certain things in the world. And Father, this morning, do we come as a church? We come as individuals. And Father, we repent of these sins. Father, we acknowledge this morning that you have called us for a purpose and that you have, Lord, and that we are carriers of your life, of your power, of your spirit. And Father, the desire of our hearts is to be used by you, to reach nations and generations, and to reach our community, and to reach Africa and South Africa. Father, we ask you that in this week to come, that you will deal with us. And Lord, there where darkness is deeply hidden, Lord, that you will reveal it unto us. Lord, that you will bring this darkness to the smallest light. Lord, that we will be rid from everything. Father, we pray that in this week to come, that you will come by the power of your Spirit, Lord, and that you will sever every link and every chain, Lord, everything that pulls us back into the world and what it has for us. Lord, that you will break these powers. And Lord, that we will be, or that we will stand before you with cleansed hands, pure hearts, embracing your commission to go out to preach the gospel in power. Jesus Christ crucified, risen. Father, I pray that your word in this morning will come, and that these seeds will just fall upon our hearts and fruit our soul. Lord, that it will germinate, that it will bring change, and that it will bring fruit to the glory of the Lord. Lord, we are all guilty of it. We are all guilty. May you come and do a mighty and great work of my hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. May he keep you. And may his face continue to shine upon you. And may he be gracious to you. And in this week to come, we pray that you will experience God's peace. And I just want to say that God loves you. You are called by his purposes. You must understand that you were once a people was in darkness, but you are a people now in his marvelous sight. You are a royal priesthood. Shalom, peace to you. We see you all here on Wednesday evening, quarter